Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Dark Hearts.
Sup?
Welcome to pre-spooky season.
Yes.
That's just what I'm going to call it now.
Pre-spooky season. I mean, technically, when this comes out, it will still be the last day of August. But September is like full swing. Yes.
Also, speaking of when we record, happy birthday, Mom!
Oh, today happy birthday, Cassie's birthday. Mom. Happy birthday, Cassie's mom.
Yes. So I had asked her before. I was like, okay, do you have a specific like place or whatever you want me to do? And I'll do it. She's like, no, just whatever. And I was like, fine, I'll wish you happy birthday, I guess.
There you go. A shout out is just as good, right?
I'll just, you know, so happy birthday to my mom.
Yeah, there you go.
Your birthday's
we're glad you can join
season.
Us for this podcast on your birthday.
Yeah. And I'm going to see you later today to take you out for lunch. So
even better, you know,
I know
true crime or I don't know if it is true crime story this week, but you know, we'll find out.
We will. And then, yeah, like I said, even my daughter is ready for spooky season because she wanted to wear her Halloween dress the other day. And it was
yes, I saw
87.
That.
And I was like, whatever, we don't have a ton of places to go. You're going to mostly be inside. And then I forgot that I was helping my sister move.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She so came like with me
a million degrees.
And so, I mean, she was in the house. She was the girl was all about that dress. And she kept saying, I'm so excited for Halloween. I was like, it's not Halloween today, though. Like,
you know what? In 2 months from this coming out will be Halloween. Exactly.
It will
two
be.
Months.
I took the day off of work because it's a Monday.
Yes.
I was like, I'll work a half day. And I was like, screw that. I'm not working. It's my favorite holiday.
Yeah, same. I feel like all schools should be out. Like, they're out for other stupid things. So why not Halloween?
My kids are out. Oh, our school's out the 30th. Actually, they're
aren't they
out
the day
the
after?
Thursday
too?
Before. Yeah. The day after. Last year was the first year they did the day after, which is really nice. But I think the week prior, that like Thursday and Friday, my kids are off too for like parent-teacher conferences. So they get a whole long-ass weekend.
That's amazing. Season. Yeah, my kids' school district does not let them out for Halloween or the day after. So that's going to be
fun. Last year was the first year, which is nice because that's the one thing I was like, I don't know, maybe it should be a universal thing that if Halloween falls on a Monday, like we, or any other day but Friday or Saturday, we just trick-or-treat on Saturdays.
Right. I think that that's fair because, I'm sorry, that's tough.
Yeah, it really is. So I don't know, but I was telling Shannon before we started recording that I'm clearly in the mood for spooky season. Voodoo was like, hey, guess what? We're in the mood for spooky season too, and here's all these horror movies on sale for $5. So I got 1408 with John Cusack and Sammy J, and I got...
that's a good classic. That's a good...
Your dogs agree too. And I bought the new one, Abandoned, by Emma, with Emma Roberts in it, who I like her as an actress. She was in the movie Nerve with what's the young Franco brother's name?
Is it Tony?
No.
James? There's another little Franco.
There's
the younger James
brother.
Franco?
Yeah, and then his little brother. Right? Yeah.
Why? Well, I thought it was Tony.
What's his little brother's name? Because they're both in it together, and it was surprisingly good.
Look, James, I apologize. My dogs are being crazy. I might have to mute myself and put one in their kennel.
I could have just IMDb'd
there. There is a Tom. Okay, there's a Tom Franco.
Dave Franco. It's Dave Franco.
Oh, Dave. Here, Dave and Tom. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know there was a Tom, too. But
yes.
So
Tony sounds Italian, so I guess Franco. Okay.
But yeah, so sidetrack on movies. Nerve is really good. At one point it was on Hulu. I don't know if it still is, but it's got Emma Roberts in it too, which I just recently found out. She's Julia Roberts' niece.
Yeah.
So that's fun. And then I bought Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark because what kid didn't have those books growing up? Which were the creepiest things. You didn't have them?
I did not have them. I know what they are.
Did you at least read them? Like, you had friends who had them, you saw them, you saw the creepy drawings in them and everything.
No. Nope.
They read stories out to you. Are you kidding
like,
me?
No. I feel like we read, like, Goosebumps.
Well,
and
yeah.
Then, but, like, we watched, I remember, though, being terrified. Also, I was fairly sheltered as far as, like, going, like, Like, I don't know how creepy these books are as kit for
they
kids.
They were creepy.
Okay, like,
I'm kind of surprised.
I for sure would not have been able
to read it.
I'm
kind of surprised that as kids. Okay, you know what? Now I have to buy you one of those. Like, at least
I mean, I would enjoy it.
Yes.
That's funny. I remember watching, do you remember Are You Afraid of the Dark on Nickelodeon?
That scared me. Yes.
Dude, I still am traumatized from an episode about a kid on his bike named Ricky. Like, I remember the details so vividly because I was so traumatized by that shit. So
we used to watch it in my babysitter's unfinished basement. And I remember distinctly the moment one episode was starting when, like, the light clicks off, the light in the basement exploded.
Okay, well, that makes it that much more creepier. Thank you, Nickelodeon, for traumatizing us.
Yes.
Maybe they're the ones to blame for this. That's creepy. But it's super vibey, you know, setting the vibes with the...
Like I said, I'm ready for Halloween and fall. I want my windows open. I want nice weather. So
I want, like, sweater weather. I want hoodies.
Yes. I have so many hoodies, and I want to be able to wear them all now.
Same. Like, I prepare for fall year-round. Like, I'll put all my black summer clothes away and get out my black fall clothes.
It's like in the
one
secret
to the
garden.
Next.
In the secret garden, like, do you want to wear black, black, or black?
Perfect. Yep, all the black.
But, all right, guys, sorry. We just, have some little lightheartedness before we get into the seriousness of this case. And just, expressing our love for said spooky season. And again, happy birthday, Mom. Hope you have a great day. So I'm going to kind of just jump right in. You guys maybe remember last week I mentioned that I was actually going to do an unsolved case as well. So I'm just going to dive right in. Like I said, a lot of my information for today's episode actually came from Netflix's reboot of Unsolved Mysteries.
Yes. Which season?
So specifically it's the volume one and it's episode 4 titled No Ride Home. Which this volume dropped on Netflix on July 1st, 2020. And that date's going to kind of come into play again a little bit later towards the end. So that's why I mention it. So
I love that reboot. Sorry, totally interrupted. But like anyone who hasn't watched it, it's so good. And I did see that, which I'm sure you've seen too. A couple cases have been solved because of that show. So that shows you that this could...
So after this aired... A few updates happened. This hasn't been solved yet, but, there's still hope and stuff like that that will be. But no, I think they've done a really good job with how they're doing this Unsolved Mysteries. I was a little worried. I was like, how are you going to do it without Robert Stack? I love how they don't actually have a host. It's just, you can tell the family and friends and stuff are being interviewed, but like you don't hear the other person asking the questions. It's just the family talking about their experience and what has gone on. So today I'm actually going to be talking about Alonzo Brooks. He was murdered after attending a house party in Lacine, Kansas. But before I get into that, I just want to talk a little bit about Alonzo first, or Zoe, as he was known to his family and friends. And like I said, I just kind of want to talk about who he was as a person,
He's
just the victim of this horrible crime, He was a person and a family member and a loved one, too. So he was born on May 19th in 1980 in Topeka, Kansas, to Billy Brooks Sr. and Maria Ramirez. He was African-American and Puerto Rican, and I'm stating this because honestly, while nothing's been proven, it does really seem to me that it's fairly likely that his murder was a hate crime. So he was the youngest of five. He had three sisters and a brother. Now, when I looked at his obituary, it looks like his mom was remarried and he maybe had like a stepbrother or something like that as well, too. But in Unsolved Mysteries, they never really bring that up. So I'm not trying to disclude anyone there, but I don't want to get that wrong either. So Zoe grew up in Topeka, Kansas, but eventually he moved to Gardner, Kansas with his mom. I'm not exactly sure when that was. His older brother Billy talked about how Billy himself moved out of the house at 18. So I don't know. Billy and his wife and I think some of Zoe's sisters still lived in Topeka, but they moved to they moved to Gardner, Kansas, which was definitely more Topeka's a more urban, big city, I mean, for Kansas, compared to what Gardner was. Gardner is definitely more of the slow, smaller town vibe.
All right.
Everyone talks about how kind, loving, and polite he was, and he was just a fun person to be around. Like, he loved sports, he loved playing football with his friends, and his favorite color was red, and he was always wearing a beanie, which actually one of the pictures they show, he's wearing a Husker beanie. So, living in Kansas, I don't know if he was still a Husker fan, you know, if that translated, if it was just because they were red. Well, Kansas City Chiefs are red, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, Husker fans reach fairly far, which is...
They do. They do. People, I mean, I ride or die. I really care, but...
I don't really either. I'm just, oh, hey, shout out to Nebraska. You
know, to Nebraska. But yeah, so, I mean, and so the fact that he was always wearing a beanie will come into play a little bit later as well. So now, on the evening of April 3rd, 2004, Zoe was 23 years old. So we're getting real close, actually, to his 24th birthday. Mm-hmm. And he was going to go to a house party with some of his friends from Gardner, which I am going to note these three friends that he was going with and that they interview in the show were all white. And that, again, is going to just, it's going to come into play as we along. So Zoe ends up riding with his friend Justin Sprague, and they met with Daniel Fune and Tyler Brokad. Don't know if I'm saying that right. They don't actually, like, they just put their names up, and I was like, all
right. Right. That sounds good. So they, go with it.
Yep. So they meet up at this house party in Lacine, which is an hour more away. And actually, like, Justin mentions how they've never even heard of this town until this night. Hmm. So this party they're going to, like, they just heard of. They don't really know who it's for, that kind of stuff. And it sounds like... It just, it was like a typical house party. But something to note too, Justin mentions specifically that Zoe put on two pairs of socks that night and tied his boots fairly tight because he had actually hurt his ankle a day or two prior playing basketball. And so, like, he was limping a bit. So I think that was just to give support, you know, instead of like wrapping it or anything. And he was like limping a little bit and stuff. And that, again, all these things.
Come back into play.
They come, these small details come into play. So they drive the hour or so out to this house in Lacine, which Lacine is a small country town. And by that I mean, like they mentioned, there's only one gas station, and it was predominantly, if not completely, white.
Okay. And, yep, that sounds about right. Small town there, and... Yep,
sounds about white.
Like, yeah, yeah, don't blink or you'll miss the town.
This house is near a creek, and it had a long driveway, so it's sitting back from the road a bit. Like I said, typical house party. One friend said there's probably 30 to 50 people there, ranging from 16 to 21. And one of them mentions there was a lot of quote-unquote cowboys. Yeah. And another goes on to say there were people who had... quote, who had issues with other people's skin tone, end quote. And it's like, just say they were racist. Like, I don't know why you're trying to, like, make them sound...
Right.
Like, just they're not it. As... Yeah. And, so, Zoe is the only person of color there. And there's only 6 to 8 people from Gardner there. So there's a ton of people that these guys don't know. Small town, you're just looking for a place to go and party, I guess, whatever. So after an hour, Daniel, who's being interviewed, tells Unsolved Mysteries that he and another friend had heard about a different party, and so they decided to leave. They told Zoe bye, and...
Once again, stop leaving your friends, people.
Oh, trust me, I get into that. Shady. Don't you worry. So... Like, if people had paired off, like, they had paired off when they went to this party, so it was just... Justin and Zoe who came together, mm-hmm. and like they met up with Daniel and Tyler and stuff. So Daniel and this other friend, this other person's name isn't mentioned, but they leave. They said Zoe seemed to be having a good time. They tell him bye, and that was the last time Daniel sees him. And then soon after that, the other friend Tyler decides to leave, and he just figured that Justin was going to give Zoe a ride home. Now Justin and Zoe aren't together. Like, they're off all scattered doing their own thing in this house. So Justin smokes his last cigarette, goes up to Zoe to see if he can bum one off of him. And Zoe's like, hey, I actually don't have any either. If you're going to go to the gas station, will you buy me a pack? Because there's a gas station right outside the town. It didn't sound like
the only thing that's too far away.
Yes. Now Justin tells Unsolved Mysteries that he turned right when he should have turned left and ended up 30 minutes north of where he should have been. So instead of making his way back, he calls his friend Adam, who's at this party, and tells him what happens and asks him if he can give Alonzo a ride home because he's not going to come back. So Justin states that he could hear Zoe in the background making fun of him for getting lost and, you know, all that. He said it sounded like he was having fun. And with that, Justin just goes home because he just assumes Adam is now going to take Zoe home.
Which is a fair assumption, I guess, if you've talked to them and made a plan, but still not cool. Also, I mean, can we say, how dumb are you to drive for 30 minutes north? Like, this is a tiny town. You're going to hit it quick. Like, if you don't hit it in 5 minutes, like, maybe turn around. Dumb.
Yeah. And you know them country roads drunk at night, though, and stuff? Yeah. I know. Like,
I don't even know him, but I don't know what he's going to do, but he just seems like a shady, shady character.
I mean, there are some people, like, I'll kind of talk about this more. There's a Facebook page called Justice for Alonzo, and I'm going to link it later. But you can see on there, people have their theories that they post, and I think some people seem to think that he knows something more, that the three friends interviewed know more than what they're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know one way or another on that.
Yeah.
I think, if anything, that these were three guys who came from a place of privilege and ignorance and made really dumb, harmful decisions. Clearly. And so that's why I brought up that these three friends he went with were all white. They all stated and knew that there were racists in this town. They knew Zoe was the only person of color there, yet they all left him.
Yeah.
You know, I know Justin says he talked to Adam and asked him to give a ride home, but it's like we've talked about before. If you show up with a friend, you leave with that friend. So it's like with your most recent, or not your most recent, but that case you did with Chelsea Brooke, whose friends left her at the Halloween party. Like, you just don't do that. You don't just leave your friend there. And it just seems so ignorant, like I said, on their part.
Totally.
Since they knew that there would be people there who had issues with Zoe simply because of his skin tone, to just be like, well, he seemed to be having fun, so we didn't think it was a big deal. Like, the ignorance
and
the privilege in that is just horrible. Like, they left their friend in an unsafe situation.
Well, and not even knowing most of the people there. And then on top of it, and obviously he sounds like he's having fun. He's drinking and partying, like, cool. But then when it gets to the point where people start getting aggressive, so I can see where that's headed.
Right. So Adam was never interviewed for the show. I don't know much about this Adam guy. Like, he's just brought up, you know, Justin says that when he talked to Adam later on, as we'll get into, that Adam thought he'd already left, that Zoe had already left, or that they just missed each other. But either way, Adam never took Zoe home. So now we're on April 4th, 2004, and his mom, Maria, gets a call from someone. The show doesn't say who, but they just asked if Zoe is home. And since he always comes home no matter what, his mom figured, yeah, just because I haven't seen him, he's not up yet. He's probably in his room. So she goes in to his bedroom to get him, and that's when she sees he never came home. His bed is unslept in. And so she starts calling around asking people, you know, Justin, the guys she knows he went with, like, have you seen him? Is he there? Have you talked to him? His best friend, who still lives in Topeka, Kansas, Rodney English, he gets called too. And now, again, for the sake of where we're going in the story, he is Black as well.
Okay.
So he comes and meets up with Justin and goes to this place to try to see if they can find any sign of Zoe. Like, is he still at this house party or something, you know? Nothing's ever mentioned about Zoe having a phone or not. It's 2004, so, like, it could be possible that he doesn't have a cell phone.
That's it's hard true. To say. He maybe had a Nokia and he could change the faceplate out, you know?
Right.
That's what I had and I was really cool.
That was, I remember that. That was bomb times.
Sure was. So carry on.
So it's hard to say. So I don't know. I'm going to assume, since it's never brought up, that like there he didn't have a cell phone himself. Because like before when Justin got lost, like he called Adam to ask him to tell Zoe.
Right. So otherwise he would have just called his phone, you would think.
Yeah, I would think. So
one would think.
Right. So they go to the farmhouse and they're actually looking along the wood line that's across the street from the house. And that's where Rodney actually finds one of Zoe's boots and his beanie that he always wears.
Oh, shit.
And then a little ways down the road, and it sounds like it's maybe on the other side of the road near the creek, is his other boot.
That's weird.
Yeah. And Rodney mentions that it looks like someone just tossed them out the windows as they were driving. Like, they didn't care about trying to hide them or anything like that. It didn't look like they fell off or came off in a struggle. Like, it looked like someone just threw them to discard them.
Like, in plain view. Yeah.
Right. So, they're looking around. And at this point, while they're searching, a man comes up on a four-wheeler and tells them that they have to leave. And, you know, while they're doing this interview, of course, like, they have Rodney walking along this same area where he was, like, where this house party was. So this is near Lacine, very white racist town. And Rodney even admits while he's been there, he's like, I don't feel safe walking here. And, like, he expresses his wish to leave. He's like, I have to go. Like, I don't feel safe here.
That's pretty crazy that he even felt unsafe. I mean,
with a TV crew and stuff being there.
That's sick to me. That's even still a thing.
So Rodney even confronted Justin about leaving Zoe at the party, and Justin's response to him was that there was no issues and Zoe was having a good time. And again, it's like we said, like, he's just coming from such a place of privilege. Like, they talked about, one of them mentions how they just didn't see, like, they never thought about that kind of stuff. And it's like, that's really good for you that you've lived such a sheltered life, but like,
ignorance, clearly. Yeah.
And you blatantly make remarks that you guys knew this. And you just know that whenever someone says there's a lot of cowboys,
that's not a good thing.
Yeah. That's
code for racist assholes.
Racist assholes who are going to start shit because they think they're tough guys.
Correct.
Especially when there's alcohol involved. How many people get into fights when there's alcohol involved just for the sake of it?
Yeah.
So,
especially cowboys.
Yeah.
And just call racist cowboys.
I know. And again, like I said, no matter the situation, male, female, non-binary, anyone in between, if you show up with your friend, unless their prior arrangements have been made before alcohol or anything else is involved and people's thinking is impaired, you leave with your friend. Okay. Correct.
That's just common sense. Well, you would think it's common sense, but clearly it's not. So,
but if it's not, it's telling you now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Go together. You show together. You go together. Okay? Yeah. Plain and simple.
Otherwise, you're going to end up on Unsolved Mysteries.
Right. Or a podcast like this.
Correct. So, that too.
After the boys had searched for Zoe and they just found his boots and beanie, Maria calls the police to report her son missing, and they try to tell her that she has to wait 48 hours. And again, anyone who knows anything about true crime knows the first 48 hours are the most critical.
Crucial. Come on,
to
people.
To find someone and to find them still alive. That's why there's a show called 48 Hours.
Yes.
Those are the most important. And she was like, no, like, I know my son. This isn't like him at all. So now her other son, Billy, so Zoe's older brother, and his wife, Cindy, drive to Lacine on Monday. And Billy mentions that the house was empty and clean, and it didn't look like there had just been a party in it a couple days prior. And they get in touch with the owner of the house, who told them it was a rental and it was empty.
So was there not furniture? I mean, was it just kind of like they thought it was just like an abandoned house to have a party at?
I don't know. It kind of sounds like, because then I think I read somewhere that the tenants had been evicted.
Oh, okay.
But it seems pretty quick turnaround time. And let's say you were evicted. How many, if you're such a terrible tenant that you're getting evicted and you're throwing one last hurrah, guarantee you leave that place trashed.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you? If you're not getting anything, I mean, your deposit, clearly, and you're losing your home, why bother?
So that's a little weird to me. I'm not 100% sure what's going on there. Either way, it seems a little shady. It seems a little suspect.
Yeah, that, super sus.
Yeah, because the friends don't mention the house being empty or anything like that. So, no clue.
Yeah, and the fact that it's, like, but, that clean, though, is really weird, too. Like, clearly someone was trying to cover something up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that's weird.
Billy and Cindy talk about how they then drive into the town of Lacine itself to talk to the sheriff. And, I mean, they're talking about, like, you can tell, like, we're getting stared at, like, we don't belong there. Like, first of all, small town, anyone new is going to get stared at anyways.
Right.
But 100%, if you have an all-white town with blatant racism going on, and you have two people of color driving into your town, it's not. Yeah. I'm sure they felt so uncomfortable. Hey Dark Hearts, just wanted to take a moment to tell you about She's Birdie. What this is a small device that can give you a little bit of peace of mind whether you're out walking, working late, or whatever it might be. The Birdie is a small device that can easily be on your keychain, your belt loop, your purse, or held in your hand. The original Birdie is just a loud alarm with a flashing light to help draw attention to you if you're feeling uncomfortable or you're in a situation where you need help or attention. Now they offer the Birdie Plus. Same device, except it doesn't have the flashing light. Instead, it comes with an app that gives you 24/7 access to live representatives who can talk with you while you're walking to your car or wherever you might be, you feel uncomfortable, or they can even send first responders to your location, as well as sharing your GPS location with two emergency contacts and giving you an excuse call if you're in a situation where you feel uncomfortable and aren't sure how to get away. Now, what's nice about the Birdies is that it's something that you can use discreetly to call the live representatives. You just press the buttons twice. If you want an excuse call, you just tap it once and you'll get an automated call that'll help give you an excuse to get away from whatever situation you're in. Now, if you hold the button, this is what sends your location to your two emergency contacts. The original Birdie is $29.95 and the Birdie Plus is $39.95, and then you do need a subscription with that, which is $8.99 a month, or you can do the annual subscription of $89.99, saving you 20%. But if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your Birdie as well. This is something that we love, we have for ourselves as well, just with the type of stuff that we're into, the true crime. We're clearly more aware of our surroundings. We are a little more cautious at times, and this can just give us a peace of mind. It's also great if you have teenagers who are out now, working later, school activities, to give you peace of mind about their safety as well. So again, their site is SHESBIRDIE.com, and if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your order today. So stay Heartland kind, but Darkland wary, and have that Birdie with you to make sure you stay safe.
For a very long period, I had a black boyfriend, and he came to my hometown with me, which is a tiny town. And I remember going to like Walmart and everybody was just staring at him. And it was the most, I felt uncomfortable. So I cannot imagine how he felt. And he was like, why, like, has no one seen a black person here? You know, like, and it was just the most uncomfortable situation for everybody. So I feel like I was shocked. I did not expect that. Cause I thought, come on, this is, you know, 2010, 10 or whatever at the time. Yeah. No, no. I mean, I just could not believe it. And I think people that act like they're not, but then they see someone that's different than them. And then all of a sudden it's right. like all the judgment, you know?
Yeah. Well, when you
bring back memories,
when you don't have that diversity around you, it's easy to pretend.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Until you're confronted with it.
Correct.
So, you know, so anyways, so Billy and Cindy go and talk to the sheriff, and he's pretty much like, well, he probably just started walking home. And Cindy's even like, who do you know who walks home with no shoes on? Especially, this is a country road. It's, there's going to be gravel it's still like, and trees.
It could be chilly still. I mean, it's yeah. not like it's summer.
I think if I remember right, too, it rained that night.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, and rocks. Like, you're not going to walk on gravel.
No.
Yeah, no. Highly yeah. suspect.
And yeah, again, and then also, it's been at least over 24 hours. Shouldn't he have shown up somewhere if he walked? He should have at least made it home. If he got lost, he could have made it to some road or something by now and found someone right. with a phone. Or a racist white town would have called the cops and be like, there's this black man correct. On the side of the road.
They would have got up him to out no of good. The... Clearly yeah. quick, because they don't want him, yes.
Exactly. So that just seems like such an asinine excuse and response.
Yeah, like, that's stupid.
It makes no sense. So now in the show, they interview the Linn County Sheriff, Paul Fila, and he was a deputy at the time that Zoe went missing. And I loved this about this episode because there's a note on the episode that says he agreed to talk to them, but he didn't want to be on camera. So they just put his picture up so you can see it as he's talking.
That's hilarious because it's like, well, we can still see you, buddy.
Right, because it's like you're a public figure. So like,
yeah, like we can...
Your image is out there. Dumb. So it just, it felt like this wonderful little petty thing that they did. We're like, all right, well, you won't be on camera, but your picture will be.
Yeah, it's fine. You can hide behind that, I guess.
Yeah. So I guess he was sent to the house on April 4th, so the day after the party, and he walked around the house and a bit by the creek. Says he saw no evidence of Alonzo, and so he just reports negative contact with Alonzo. So we're going to go into a little bit of a timeline here now. So then on April 7th, the case is turned over to the KBI, which is the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. And they do an extensive search of the area, as well as like the FBI does as well. They used canines and everything, but like they don't find anything.
Hmm.
On April 10th, the FBI officially joins the search. Then on April 12th, a rescue and dive team is called out to search the creek. And so they interview like the guy who led that. And uh-huh. he mentions that the deepest part of the creek was only 3 feet. So if Zoe was in it, they would have found him easily. Like they could have just kicked aside some water and found him.
Right. They could have seen him probably yeah. just even, I mean.
And so like the creek branches a few things. So they searched in several different directions down different tributaries or whatever they're called, little branches of the thing, you know. So they searched an extensive part and they found nothing. And mind you, the police should be looking underneath limbs and trees and stuff like that. And there, if you have a dive and rescue team, I'm sure they would realize that they should be looking underneath these things as well. Again, right. that'll come into play.
That's kind of what their specialty, like specialty.
Yes. Yeah. So they don't find any sign of him at all, and they are never called back to help in the search again. Again, seems a little
sounds
weird.
Like they put a good effort into that.
Yeah, I mean, at least the dive and rescue team, it sounds like they did what they could, but mm-hmm. yeah, like how would you, I don't know, it seems weird. But so now at this point, then like hundreds of interviews are done, polygraphs are taken, but there's like no luck. And later it's mentioned that some people outright refused the polygraph tests, or like they lawyered up and stuff, which no, polygraph
that's also
tests
sketchy
are not legit, but it is sketchy. And, right. like, I mean, we kind of saw, again, with your case, the Halloween party one, like, he kind of did the same thing, and he had nothing to do with it.
Right. I think everyone's just scared of, like, what happens if you take one and you really are innocent, but it says yes. you're guilty, or, you know?
Yeah. So.
I get it.
Yeah. So law enforcement in the county keeps trying to say that he probably got drunk, took off his shoes, and just walked home. But it's like, okay, he would have been found at this point, right? And friends and family are quick to point out that that makes no sense since he had a bad ankle. And then why is there no other trace of him? You know?
Right.
That makes no sense. And so the cops wouldn't let his family search the area during this time. It actually wasn't until May 1st of 2004, which is 27 days after Zoe had been missing, that the police were finally like, yeah, fine, go ahead, search the area. Like, Billy's like, I feel like they felt like it was just to kind of shut us up. Like,
yeah,
you know, they had constantly been calling them almost daily. And they're like, stop calling. We'll call you. Like, just leave it be. And so they get a huge turnout of friends, family, people volunteering from the community to come out and search for Alonzo. And one interview volunteer who was interviewed even mentioned how there was like this shed and they felt the need to search that area. So as they were heading that way, they found Zoe's body. He was laying near the creek, just 200 meters away from the house, I think. And they found him in less than an hour. Like, he was.
But they hadn't searched
visible.
This area before.
Oh, no, they had.
Oh, they had. Okay. Uh-huh.
So police say they've searched this area. This is part of the area that was searched with the dive and rescue team. So
did they really search it, or was he not there that whole time?
Well, so a lot of people believe that his body was kept somewhere and dumped after they knew the police weren't looking anymore. Like, they discuss on the show all these rumors that were circulating about his body being kept in a deep freeze and stuff. And, like, his brother Billy will later say, like, the family believes he was brought there later. And he was like, I'm not saying the police told people, but I wonder who the police maybe told that they were not searching, but the family's going to. And it leaked to whoever had done Zoe harm or had his body so that they could dump it where the family would find it. But if police weren't coming... You know,
that's really sus.
Because Alonzo's uncle is even interviewed and he's talking about how he had to stop Billy from going down and trying to touch him because he's like, this is a crime scene. Like, we have to be careful.
I feel like your first instinct to like, are they alive?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because his uncle, it's so heartbreaking to listen to his uncle talk about how hard it was to see this young man who had been so full of life to just be laying there. And I can't imagine finding your own, you know. He talked about how he was thankful his sister, Zoe's mom, wasn't there that day to, he's like, I will never get rid of that image of him.
And now this has been what, a month since he went missing?
A month. Yeah.
So I guess you probably are going to talk about it, but like decomp. So maybe that makes more sense too. If it's been a month, he would be fairly, if he was outside too, I mean, you know, it would have happened quicker with his body.
We'll
so it makes you wonder, was someone keeping him in a freezer or something?
Yeah. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Like, they interview the forensic scientist or pathologist who kind of looked over his body. And he talks about how if he had been in a deep freeze, he would have thawed to the point where it was no longer, like, there's ways that you can tell, but he said he would have been out long enough to know, like, those were gone. It is also important to note, Alonzo was completely clothed and his wallet and other items were still on him, including money, which again, we're going to circle back to. So it's Dr. Eric Mitchell, who's the forensic pathologist that they interviewed, and he remarks that there were no puncture wounds to his clothes, no fractures or gunshot wounds. He also states that his airways were clear of water, which... Later, he'll talk about how his body could have been, like, stuck in the river and all this, and we'll kind of come to that as well. But it's like, if his airways were clear of water, he couldn't have drowned. If you drown, you're gonna have water in your airways and your lungs.
Correct.
Now, I'm not a scientist, and I didn't look into it. Like, I don't know if eventually that would evaporate, but I would feel that there would still be signs.
I feel like that would be signs, yeah.
Yeah. He did also mention that he could have been strangled, but it was hard to determine because the soft tissue of his neck was gone and the body was damaged by animals and insects.
Oh.
But like, there are other times that I've heard in other cases of people who are strangled and their hyoid bone being broken.
I was gonna say the bone is broken.
And so nothing about that's mentioned. Like, he doesn't bring that up at all. So
that's weird.
I don't know if that.
I mean, you would
missing.
Assume it wasn't broken then, maybe, if he's just not even mentioned, but
I don't know. But wouldn't you mention it to be like
to prove a point that it
point
wasn't?
That
so it's probably unlikely that that happened.
Yeah, it seems weird. And the pathologist, like I said, he says he could have gotten stuck in the branches if he had fallen in the creek and drowned, and that's why his body wasn't found until later. Like, maybe he was dislodged after
the
heavy rain or something.
The 3-foot creek that he drowned. But he's a big guy, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember. He looked like he was a fairly large guy.
I know. I was just looking at him. Okay, maybe I saw it. He looked tall. Yeah. Jeez.
Also, let's talk about the fact that his body wasn't bloated the way you'd think it would be if he had been in the water for almost a month.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, everything, like, his mom ends up showing Unsolved Mysteries everything that was in his pocket, and like, there was like, it almost looked like mail, folded up envelope or something, like paper, plus his
that
would
have been
his
gone.
Money that would have been deteriorated. We've all washed a piece of paper, a dollar bill or something. That shit gets crumpled, it gets messy, it deteriorates.
And if it was
even
that long in water,
even if you're just sitting in water, the paper itself at least would have, like, pulled apart. Like, it's all still in really good condition. And because they can't, they just list his death as undetermined. And,
okay,
you know, some people question,
weird.
Like, was this a hate crime or
no? No medical issues, or did they do, like, a toxicology report or anything?
Not that I heard on the thing or that it showed.
Huh.
Which you think, again, they would have. And I don't know if
that's and
that's
weird
now...
if they don't mention that. It makes you wonder, too, like, was he drugged? Did he, like,
well, and then it
poisoning?
Makes you wonder, too, like, was there stuff that is sealed that can't be talked about?
Right.
I don't know.
Especially because it's unsolved, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, okay, let me continue. I was trying to get ahead of myself here.
Yes, so yes, carry on.
The sheriff is shown in the, like, there's a clip from after Zoe's body was found of the sheriffs of the town being like, we searched there, he was not there, you know? And
do you believe
it
them?
Just seems like
in your personal opinion?
In my personal opinion, I do think Alonzo's body was placed there later. I think like the pathologist tries to be like, murderers very rarely do that. Like, yes, it can happen, but more often it's about convenience and yada yada. And I was like, I think a small town
unless it's
where
like
people
a planned
cover for everyone,
right?
And
everybody covers for everybody.
Yeah. So, and we'll kind of talk about that more. But like, so the police also mentioned that there had been fights later that night to, I guess, Alonzo's friends. And actually, the FBI mentioned after the show airs that they got new information that there had been another party that night and a fight broke out there. So everyone then headed to the house party that Zoe and his friends had gone to. And so this is where I got kind of confused, because if you remember, Daniel, when he's being interviewed for the show, mentions he and his friend had heard of another party and decided to go there.
Okay.
So did he not bring that up then? Was it not looked into?
Why not?
Was it ignored? There are so many weird things with that. Like, how is it just now, almost 16 late years later, being brought up? Like, oh yeah, by the way, there had been another house party that night.
Right. Yeah. How? That's really
so,
weird.
But so because of this information, the FBI started conducting more interviews again. And like I said, Billy states that the police, or that the family believes the police, you know, did search that area, and that the body was left there after the fact. And like I said, Billy kind of mentions, like, did he say something to the, did the police officer say something to the wrong person who then let it slip to whoever did do something to Alonzo, that, hey, they're, the police are done with this area. It's going to be the family now. So, like, you can get rid of this body.
Safe to dump now. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then in March of 2019, so now this is 15 years.
Yeah.
The KBI releases a statement saying they found no evidence that Zoe was the victim of a crime, so they closed his case.
But they can clearly see that it wasn't a suicide either, correct? I mean, like,
right. It's
so clearly something
death.
Happened then.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, accidental or anything.
Yeah. So,
oh my gosh.
However, it was reopened again in 2020. And now Unsolved Mysteries doesn't mention that. So, and I found it in an article, and it, so it kind of seems like this happened because it was reopened because of the Unsolved Mysteries case.
Okay.
So on July 21st, so on July 21st of 2020, which is 20 days after that whole volume of Unsolved Mysteries dropped.
Okay.
The FBI exhumed his body and did a second autopsy at the Dover Air Force Base, which concluded that Zoe was the victim of foul play.
Oh.
The new autopsy. Yep. The new autopsy focused on injuries to his body that weren't consistent with normal decomposition. Details of these injuries haven't been released since it is an ongoing investigation. And it is being investigated as a hate crime.
Good, as it should
be. Yes. So, like I mentioned earlier, Alonzo's family has a Facebook page. It's titled Justice for Alonzo Brooks, which I'm going to link in our show notes. And there are, like I said, a lot of people who comment their theories on there. It sounds like they think there's a specific family in town involved, which I'm not going to get into because, again, these are all rumors. You can go on there and see that for yourself. But like I said, I will say, as someone who grew up in a pretty small town myself, there's no way that someone in that town or multiple someones don't know exactly what happened that night. Small town people know everyone's business. And I really do think, like, my personal opinion is the police force maybe didn't necessarily help cover up, but looked the other way on some things, maybe let slip when they were about to do some things. And so, and doing so, I think they helped cover this up. I think they helped give whoever actually had something to do with this a heads up and a chance to try to get away with it. And even that, like, the pathologist that they, or the forensic pathologist that they interviewed, like, I wonder, like, if he was the one who did it and did this, if he was from that town or that county, like, again, the hyoid bone's not mentioned. It's not mentioned of these things, and these injuries aren't mentioned. He said there were no fractures, but they're talking about, the FBI said there were injuries not consistent. And if they can find
that, how many years later?
After 16 years?
Right. When it would just be like skeletal remains. I mean, I don't, it's crazy if they could tell that.
Yes.
And also, so, it reminds me of the case of the Beatrice Six with the forensic pathologist that was found that she had done all these, I mean, she was,
like, negligent. Like, yeah.
So it makes you, I mean, clearly that stuff happens.
Right. So, I mean, like I said, I think this is definitely a town cover-up. I think people in town, I think it's one of those poorly kept secrets that people do know. But until someone actually comes forward, this family's not going to get the closure that they deserve. And so I did actually message with the family member who runs the Facebook page. You know, I asked them if there was anything specific they'd like me to share, and that if it was okay that I covered this, you know, for this episode. And so they did. They wanted me to mention there's actually $100,000 reward for Alonzo's case. And you can call in tips to the FBI Kansas field office at 816-512-8200 or the tip hotline at 816-747-TIPS. And there's also a site where you can leave tips, and it's tips.fbi.gov. And again, I'm going to link all of that in the show notes. But this family, they just want answers and justice and closure for Alonzo. So hopefully by continuing to share a story, someone somewhere might hear this and remember something or know someone who does and can help out. Like, they were so gracious. And, you know, they were like, we just want his story shared however possible, you know. And it was, I was so grateful to them for responding to me. Like I said, I'll leave the Facebook page for them too, because they were like, you know, even if you can share this page and stuff. So I just, it's such a heartbreaking story. By all accounts, he was just a fun, loving guy, very kind, good friend, loving family member. And his family, we're now 18 years since
That's insane.
He went missing and was found, and you know, they have nothing. It's been almost two decades. This family deserves closure. I mean, they missed out on him getting to be an uncle, him getting to have his own family. And that's just, it's heartbreaking. You know, it was so sad when they're interviewing his mom, she brings out this flannel jacket that was his. And, she, you know, she talks about how she likes to wear it just to feel like he's close. And as a mother, especially, I can't even imagine the heartbreak and just day to day knowing that the people who did this to your baby are out there and are getting away with it. So yeah, if you guys know anything, or share the story please with others, if you've never heard of it, you know, and you know people in that area who maybe have, just keep sharing. Hopefully, yeah,
sometimes people just drink and they start talking. Or I feel like a lot of cases, it's like someone told a cellmate who told, mm-hmm. you know, it's sometimes yeah. it's just the one thing you overheard. It reminds me a lot of the case last week, same type of thing, like every day, just not knowing mm-hmm. and how terrible it is. I think, I mean, and this is bad enough that they, I mean, they even have his body, but then to have nobody willing to help you once when you have that body right there, like
yeah
willing to talk to you with all the evidence. And so that doesn't make any sense. There's definitely something corrupt going on there, I feel like, 100%. In my opinion.
And this family, I mean, like I said, they're not giving up, you know. They
yeah I wouldn't
keep pushing
ever.
Forward until they get that justice that Alonzo deserves. And so that was a case I just wanted to cover. That is something that, like, racism is still very rampant in places, and
oh yes,
I mean, we could go, that could be its own podcast and its own episode, and I know there are some done out there by people who have experienced it, and that's mm-hmm. for them to share and tell. And I needed to point out too, like, that's something, like, I actually even had a client the other day, which was kind of interesting, talking about how her daughter moved from Topeka, Kansas, maybe it wasn't Southern Kansas area, because her daughter's white, they adopted a black girl as an infant and were raising her, and they just were like, this isn't the place, like, Omaha at least is more diverse, and then they're all white southern town, which in Kansas is still gonna be, it's close enough south that it's still,
oh yes,
I mean, listen, even in Omaha, no matter where you go, no matter how diverse your city, you're still gonna have it,
yeah,
but at least no that matter she what. Can she has that diversity instead of being the commodity in a small yeah. town.
Totally. So that's, yeah,
I mean,
it exists everywhere, but it's yeah. easier to, I don't want to say blend in, but yeah, when there's other people that feel the same and have been through similar experiences too.
Hopefully if you have friends who aren't people of color, they're at least more aware and not so ignorant then. And yeah. again, you go together. You show
you
together,
together.
You go together. Like,
yep.
Always. Don't leave your friends behind, okay?
Yeah. Come on, people. If you learn anything from this, don't leave
and
your,
like,
friends.
That's one of those things. Like, they talk to Justin, and he gives his little thing about how sorry he is and how bad he feels. And maybe he does. And I don't know. Like, I get it. 2004 was a different time. People weren't educating themselves as well. It feels so ignorant, and I'm not trying to blame, but a part of me does. I mm-hmm. try to be impartial. Like, I don't
that
know
that
I feel
recent enough that that shouldn't have been a thing.
Yeah.
I feel like, but,
and like I said, like, some people have commented on that Facebook page that they think Justin and some of those other friends, like, maybe got scared and left him there alone or whatever. I don't know if I feel that way. I feel like I haven't seen anything. Maybe there's more information that I haven't seen or heard, if it's all conjecture and rumors. It does feel just like a really ignorant
mm-hmm.
thing to me. It feels like that cost his friend his life. You know, his ignorance cost his friend his life and his friend's family.
Yep.
Him. And so I don't know. So I'm not, like I said, I try to remain impartial a little bit to that, but it is difficult with that situation. So,
yeah, I know. And I'm like, I get it. These people, like, already have to live with the fact.
Yeah.
They were the ones that left him, especially if they are really innocent. You know, I mm-hmm. mean, that sucks, because you do have to live with that. I'm sure you feel like a piece of shit already. So,
right.
But also, it's a good lesson for everyone else to remember. Right. Don't do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Cassie, I would never leave you at a party by yourself.
Thank you. Not that we would
I also
go to
would
one,
never be at a party.
Right. What? I was like, not that we would go to one or set somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, no. But those days are far in the past. The ship
if we somehow ever end up at a party together, I will not leave you there.
Perfect. And you know, listen, I've been to some sketchy country houses, and that is scary. And I'm glad back then I did not know all the things I know now, because no.
I did get left alone at a party of a house of people I didn't know. And I was very, very intoxicated. I was fortunate that nothing more happened. I was passed out on the floor next to someone and he tried. But luckily, after a couple times, he stopped trying to do anything. So I was very, very fortunate in that regards. I could have gone very bad, but I was too drunk to drive myself. And I remember distinctly my cousin called me and I was so drunk I couldn't remember where I was for him to come pick me up.
And well, so that I escalated like, quickly. Uh-huh. So didn't see going that way.
Uh-huh. So that was one of those things where, you know, I 20 something, I'm like, well, I put myself in a situation. I feel really dumb. I don't know where I am even to tell my cousin where I was like, I'll be fine, you know? And fortunately for me, I felt real stupid the next morning. I woke up and I just left this house where there were 5 guys just in this living room. I was passed out. I was the only girl there and that could have gone really bad for me. So I'm very fortunate in that regards, but that's also like, I just don't leave people, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it's don't scary.
Just, especially don't go up to your friend and be like, hey, are you good if I go? Are you okay?
Right. And especially if they've been drinking and they're like,
yeah, I was fine. Very intoxicated.
Yeah.
Very, very intoxicated. Yeah. So yeah, don't do that. Unless, like I said, unless prior to anyone drinking and getting fucked up in any way, you've made plans, you stick together.
Mm-hmm.
Stick it out together.
I agree.
So yeah, that's this episode. I know I got kind of deep there and dark at the end a little bit.
Yeah, Cassie, wow, way to rain on the parade. No, I'm just kidding. None of this was a sunshiny parade,
right?
It's been a thunderstorm from the beginning.
It has been. It's just, and that's why we have this, you know, to try to help educate people to share these stories. Like, yes, we talk about these things with each other and that's why we started it, but we do genuinely, I mean, we want to spread these cases that don't have as much coverage. People don't hear as much. It's like we've talked about from the beginning, like these Heartland cases so often are ignored because there's the East Coast, the West Coast, mm-hmm. you know, or the serial killers. Like, everyone knows BTK from Kansas.
Correct. You know,
almost everyone is. I say that like, but I mean.
I mean, but really.
But really.
If you don't know, just look it up. Thanks.
and so that's why just we want to spread that. And, you know, if we can help you to stay safe and, you know, learn a little bit too along the way, like, fantastic.
Yeah.
Speaking of learning, I guess it's come to our attention that some people maybe don't know what show notes are.
It is true. Yes.
So would you like to explain to our listeners, Shannon?
You know what?
When you show notes.
Yeah, I would love to. So when you when you listen to your podcast, wherever you listen to it, if you basically just click on the button, I mean, I guess it depends on where you watch or listen, but the episode, you click on that and you just scroll down and it'll have
That's all the show notes. So like when you go to find the information where we put the little blurb about what the episode's about and stuff like that, it's all under there.
Yeah. So that's part of the show notes, the description essentially. So like if you see that, then you're in the right spot.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, I guess to us, we just know because whatever, but some people don't know. And
yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, guys. We took for granted the fact that people might know what the show notes are when we mentioned it. So now we're letting you guys know show notes. The information
that's what it is
of a podcast,
and you can always message us if for some reason you want something and you can't find it, one of the information things, then
100% feel free to reach out. Like, even if you feel silly or whatever about it, like, hey, I know you said you were gonna have this here, but where exactly is this, where can I find, like, please reach out. Like,
yes, like, I'm that person that doesn't know things, so I get it, and no judgment here, because
yeah,
sometimes it's just technology, you know, it's tough.
It is. It really is. So thank you guys. Again, you can reach out to us at any of our social medias. We're on all the platforms, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. Those are, again, all the specific links for them are in the show notes.
Just search Heartland Darkland if all else fails.
Yes. And you can reach us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com for questions, comments, concerns. Share your stories. We would still love some listener stories, your own personal experiences with true crime, paranormal, unsolved, any of the weird things you've got going on, cryptids. Send them our way. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, we want a little like campfire story time, you know?
you know, yeah, we just want to enjoy it. So until next time, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.